I think when you're on the start line of a race like that, of any race really, the stakes are really high when you think about it, because you have no choice what you're going to be doing for the next period of time. You've just got to get out there and perform. You know, there's no ducking out there. You, when the gun goes, you're off. Your opportunity is once and only. That's an amazing thing, but it's also quite a challenging thing because you're totally exposed.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. In the beginning, it's easy. Slightly downhill, on tarmac, heading for the eastern end of Glencoe, early on a still, overcast morning. Hundreds of feet pound forward. Everyone feels strong. But the runners can't be too quick. Even the fastest today will be racing for 8 hours. The slowest could be out for 12 or more. There are 50 kilometres to cover and 4,000 metres of knee-crunching up and down on rough and rocky ground. Near the front, at the start of Britain's first Sky Race, is Joe Simmons. His knee is injured and he hasn't trained for weeks. He's nervous and he's up against some of the best in the world. But Joe is in his element and he wants to win. I'm Christopher Slight, and this is Mountain.
My name is Joe Simmons, and I work as a paediatrician in the Children's Hospital in Glasgow. My main interest outside of that is in hill running or fell running, and I've been doing this since I was old enough to run, really.
Tell me about sky racing.
Sky racing is a sport that grew in Italy, in the Italian Alps, and it's been going for the last couple of decades, really. And the idea is that it's a sport that takes athletes to high mountains, running along ridges in rugged terrain, often without paths, and in some of the most beautiful parts of the Alps. The race begins at the Glencoe Ski Centre, and actually the first 4 miles are running along the West Highland Way, taking you to the bottom of Buccalettive Moor. And anybody who's ever driven the road from Crianlarich to Fort William will have noticed when they pass through Glencoe that you're confronted by this great beast of a mountain, an almost perfect pyramid, which really takes your breath away when you first see it, and pretty much every time you see it since. And the race then goes straight up this Buccalettive Moor, the guardian of Glencoe, right up the very front of it, and it's quite hard to believe that that's where you're expected to run. But you are.
The runners scramble up curved ridge before following the southern and then the northern skylines of Glencoe, the race dipping to almost sea level halfway round. They solo where many would use ropes and run where most would walk. It's a serious race, but there's a pure, almost childlike quality to it.
You've got to go up some pretty steep hills, and sometimes you're having to use all fours there, so you're in a completely different position to the running position that you'd be doing a road race in. Sometimes you're really crouched down on the ground. Sometimes you're ripping bits of grass with your arms to try and gather a bit more speed. Sometimes you're having to grab onto rocks. And it's a long way, you know. I think a lot of people will be spending 8-10 hours on this race. And there's not many races in the country out with sort of Ironman triathlons that would really keep you going for that long.
That isn't just physical fitness, is it? That's got to be a huge amount of mental strength to help you carry on for such a long period.
Yeah, I think these kind of events do demand a lot of mental strength, just the pure amount of time that you have to be out for. I think it probably helps that you're in hopefully some pretty awe-inspiring terrain, and that keeps you going.
Do you get a chance to appreciate that?
you do get a chance to appreciate it. I think I've always felt that the more physically exhausted you are, that can kind of put you on a different plane sometimes, that you can really appreciate things. I do sometimes find when I do these races that I want to go back up so I can actually stop and absorb the view, which I've missed. But often when you do go back up, you don't appreciate it on the same level as you did when you were puffing and panting and your heart rate was up near 200. And I think there's something about being in that physical state that changes the way you appreciate things.
Well, the lead runners have just popped up over the horizon. Coming down to checkpoint 5, they're moving at a terrific pace. I'm guessing they're 200 or 300 meters away at the moment, but feels like they're going to be here in seconds.
There's an awful lot of pain involved in races like this, I'm sure. I mean, is that a gradual thing that builds, or do you suddenly sort of hit a barrier where you think, oh, I cannot take any more of this?
Yeah.
I can't keep going.
You can suddenly hit a barrier, and that's usually a pretty bad thing. I've done plenty of races where all of a sudden I felt absolutely terrible, and usually it's something that you shouldn't have done. In other words, you should have eaten a bit more, you know, because you really have to focus on making sure you continue to fuel yourself in an event like this. And if you suddenly crack, it's usually because your blood glucose is low. And by that point, it's usually a bit too late. You can try and top it up, but you're already on the back foot.
Can you describe that pain? What's it like when you've been going for 6 hours, your body's crashing, you haven't had enough food, your legs are aching, you're maybe not doing as well as you wanted to? What's it like? What's the pain like?
It's pretty unpleasant. If you're running low on fuel, you have this ache in your stomach. You have a swirling round in your head. You can't really think straight. And the worst thing of all is that your legs will just refuse to move. And you think, if only they would just move, and you feel totally crippled by it. The nervous connection between your brain and your legs just seems to be totally severed. You know, you're trying to ask them to do something and they just plainly refuse. You feel like you're an awful long way from home at these sort of times. Hours ago, I was bleeding. I'm still on the line. I guess I'm believing.
This is obviously different from a road race. It's different even from a normal hill race or a fell race. Is there a sort of ascetic point to it? Choosing a satisfying route, like a mountaineer or a climber would, not just about pounding up a steep hill?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely what this is about. You know, Glencoe is a standout glen in Scotland. It's got numerous sort of iconic aspects to it. But the enormous satisfaction is about taking yourself to somewhere that on the face of it looks difficult, but is actually possible. And I think, I'm not a climber, but I think that's what really drives climbers, is to find themselves in a position that they've got through their own skill and hard work, which on the face of it looks almost impossible to get themselves to.
Moved on to checkpoint 10 now, which is just at the Clachay turnoff at the other end of the glen, and they've got a big screen here because all the runners have GPS trackers on them, and that shows that Joe is in the lead, but just by 1 minute. And they're coming up to Bidiam Nan Bian at the moment, which is the highest point of the race, and they'll be down here within the next hour, I think, which is just quite incredible, because for me and a lot of other people, we'd probably consider that full-on day's hill walking. I'm going to come and talk to you now. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Tell me your name, what you're doing here today.
I'm Beverly, and I'm here at Checkpoint 10.
With masses and masses of bananas.
Bananas, yes. We're going to have lots of monkeys later.
So this is the sort of food that extremely super fit runners demand, is it, at a checkpoint? What have we got? Tell me what you got.
We have got some lovely, here's advertising, Galaxy cookie crumble biscuits. We've got some mini Cadbury rolls. We've got some crisps. We've got some Jammy Dodger biscuits. And we've got oranges as well.
And the bananas.
And we've got the usual staple of delicious, cheap Coca-Cola, or Roller Cola as it's known.
Roller Cola.
It gives them the no boost brand that they need.
You've got an urn of tea as well.
We've got tea and coffee.
That's not for the runners, presumably.
Some do. Some
have a cup of tea.
Yes, the middle to end people will graze on my smorgasbord here, but
That's very civilised. Just stop for a quick chocolate roll and a cup of tea.
Yes, but the elite ones will probably just come and get a water and go.
And go, yeah,
we
no stopping.
We don't get upset if they don't say much or just dib in, dib out. That's why they're elite, aren't they?
Any chance for a cup of tea? Can I?
Yes, if you can hang on 5 minutes.
5 minutes is fine.
5 minutes. Great. The water just needs to boil. We just topped it up. You were just slightly too late.
Hello.
Hiya.
Do you mind if I come and talk to you as well?
Not at all.
Are you supporting somebody in...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Dr. Cathy Robinson. I'm Trevor Taylor. I'm the father of one of the runners, and this is the wife of one of the runners, Rudy Taylor.
And there's four guys from 4-5 Commando, and we've got our own wee checkpoint set up here with some just energy gels, different bars. We're going to refill their water packs, and the odd peanut butter sandwich.
But you've also got chicken, bacon and sweet corn pasta.
I don't think that's going to be consumed. Rudy had one for breakfast this morning, though, at 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no.
What time are you expecting them?
About 11-ish. So, although we think Rudy's probably the first of the four, and we're not the other guys are lagging a little bit behind, so we're going to wait and just give them all a wee bit of an extra hand.
So... Rudy's quite high up in the field then. I mean, coming through about 11.
Well, the last position we got was he was at 24, but I don't know if it's changed, and I don't know how accurate the computer is there.
Is he? What's he hoping to come in? Do you know?
Well, he said top 10, but then this morning it was top 30. So I think once he's seen the competition last night, it made a hit at home a wee bit.
He's only just started doing this. He done the Fort William Marathon last month, and that was his first big run. This is totally different for a marathon.
That there is some very, there's a very high standard of competitor, I think.
Exactly. But I think being a Marine, it's so inbuilt to be competitive anyway, so...
I don't like being beat.
No, I know.
Just keep going.
Exactly. So I think he'll come into his own, because he does Anakiga a lot just for the ridge just for fun. And I think just the grit that they've got, hopefully he'll get him back at the end. So you never know. We'll see.
Obviously they're competing, but I mean part of it is just tremendous atmosphere. I mean it was so exciting when they went off this morning.
Yeah, I know. I've never experienced anything like it. It was really nice, and it's such a nice community, and it's just nice to see everybody coming together. And you know, we've met quite a few locals today, you know, so that was nice as well, just hearing what they thought about the race.
It's 20 past 11. We're almost 4.5 hours in now. And here's Joe. He is well in the lead.
That descent was the hairiest bit of the whole race, I think.
You feeling good?
Yeah, good. There's still a long way to go, though. So.
Big climb.
I stay a while at Checkpoint 10 and soak in the festival atmosphere. There's a steady trickle of runners, and you can see them feeding off the support. After an hour or so, I'm watching a small bunch of runners come through, all at the same time, when something quite unexpected and spectacular happens. A massive shape in the sky catches my eye. It's coming from the west. It's a huge, huge bird with barn door wings, about 100 metres or so above us. It's a sea eagle, and it's come to have a look. It's fully grown, but probably a young bird, as it doesn't have that distinctive white tail yet. And the thing about these juveniles is that they're quite bold and curious, and the supporters at the checkpoint, well, they're making a hell of a noise. I look around, and no one else has noticed, and it doesn't seem right to point and shout, so I just watch. Curiosity satisfied, it goes into this long banking turn. This thing's like a Lancaster bomber. And then with a couple of wing beats, it catches a thermal and it's off. Within seconds, it's cruising at 1,000 metres, about the same height as the Anakigach Ridge where the race goes. And before long, it's just a tiny speck, like a distant runner. And suddenly, I wonder, if sky racing along a mountain ridge when you're going well is a bit like being an eagle, powering along, up high, looking down on everything and feeling that you just belong to the landscape.
I've just been paying a visit to the Mount Resort. You're wondering what on earth this is. This is the first Solomonic Glenic Coat skyline. Everyone that you'll see crossing at the finish line has taken on at 52 kilometres and a little bit more than that. Over
the lead runners just crossed the A82. They're on the finishing straight. And for the last couple of hundred metres, I've actually got a vehicle driving in front with its hazards on. It's brilliant. It's just like watching the Tour de France.
So let's get the applause going, ladies and gentlemen. Do not underestimate the historic moment we have here.
After a gruelling 7 hours, 36 minutes and 21 seconds, the winner crosses the line. Take a bow, Mr. Joe Simmons.
Ladies and gentlemen, first home, Joe Simmons! So are you able to chat? You look like you can chat. I quite like, how was that for you in a few words?
That's a really tough race. I think there's not many races where you can be 7 hours in with apparently a 10-minute lead and still not sure whether you'll be able to win. You know, anything can happen in that race.
At any points did you actually stop and actually take in the wonderful scenery around here? Did you manage that at all?
No.
Do you have to make sacrifices to keep at that peak level of fitness that will enable you to be a contender in a race like this? Are you sacrificing parts of family or social life?
Yeah, I think it helps to have a supportive family who understand that actually in order to be at your best for some of these events that you will have to spend a day running in mountains. But I'm very fortunate that I have that. And I think by... what this does for me is so important that I think everybody benefits from it because they see how much it means to me.
This is a part of you, it's part of your identity.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't really imagine the world without it. I grew up doing it and it's who I am and it's who I see myself as. And when I don't run in mountains, I don't feel complete, I suppose.
Runner Joe Simmons. Thanks very much to Joe and all the runners I spoke to during the Glencoe Skyline. Thanks also to Shane Oley of Area Events, who organised the race and who helped me out so much on the day. Editing help from Hugh Williams. Music for this episode was from Friendly Foliage and James William Hindley. See our website for more details. You can find us at mountainpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, of course. Links to those on our website. This has been episode 1 of Mountain. If you liked it, please tell someone else who might enjoy it. I'm Christopher Slight. Thanks for listening.
Looking for competitor 118! 118!